Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Once again, ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum to this edition of the Coffee Express, coming to you live and exclusively from the studios of Marcus Sahaba Online, Sawtu Ahli Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the voice of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah in Durban, South Africa, on this day, the 2nd of Muharram, 1446, corresponding with the 28th of June, 2025. Alhamdulillah, we have just finished with our first segment, which is the Ahlul Kitab and what the Holy Quran has to say about them, to try and, you know, determine why they are behaving in the matter, in the manner they are in relation to Palestine. We now cross over to Brother Ahmad Tariq, our local counselor, and also a man who is very involved in the kafan and the dafan affairs of the Muslim community, for the segment called Straight Talk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Brother Ahmad Tariq.
Walaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan to all our radio listeners on a beautiful Saturday morning, Morana.
Is there any new developments regarding our kafan and dafan? I know last week we had a bit of interruption because of the gremlins attacking our system. So we didn't get everything clearly. All I remember hearing is something about Palestine.
Okay, firstly, there's some very burning issues that we need to discuss regarding dafan and kafan. In fact, about 20 years ago, when the Islamic Burial Council was formed, we made it very, very clear to the city that we will take it over all the cemetery within the Itigwini municipality, and we will run it ourselves. And as you know, there was objection from some of the elders. They say, why you want to take it over, because they are going to pay for the staff and everything. But we looked at the bigger picture at that time. By taking it over today, alhamdulillah, we got 14 cemeteries where we control ourselves. It's the very same thing. Then I went to Kauteng, Eastern Cape, I went to Western Cape, and to start forming Islamic Burial Council there. But, you know, you always have, because you're running your own burial society, now you don't want to join a bigger organization like what we got in Durban Islamic Burial Council affiliated to one organization. So, they, you know, because of status in Kauteng and the Western Cape. Nevertheless, the idea behind this whole thing was to make sure that we take it over. Now, I'm reading from this week, the big uproar at the moment in especially the Western Cape as well as in Kauteng, that the tariff, the municipality have already put the tariffs up, and they still, some of them are saying we are maintaining and why do we have to pay? So the question comes in again, when I told them take it over, be our own bosses, be take it over and be in control of our own destiny. They didn't do it. Now it's becoming a problem. So if we had it the other way around, where we took it over like what we got in KZN, today, alhamdulillah, we don't have any problems. So now, and I sent a message this week, and I sent them a WhatsApp, and I'm going to be sending a letter on Monday, how they must proceed and take it over. Once you take it over, you're in control of our own destiny, and this is what we have to do. And forget the differences in my organization, your organization. Organization means nothing. Operate with one organization where you will have one voice, and then you go to the government. The government will listen to it. Like when we go here, with the banner of Islamic Burial Council to the Tiguni municipality. They see what we have done over the last 20 odd years. They go and see, look at our cemetery, the condition of our municipal cemeteries, which we took it over, and go look at their cemetery, how that is. It's chalk and cheese. So the long and the short is, we are saying to those brothers in Kaohsiung and Western Cape and all over the country, take it over. Even if you find a piece of ground, tell the council you need it for this purpose, for cemetery. Get donors, you'll get plenty, especially for the dafan kafan work. You'll get somebody will give you the fencing, one will give you the poles, somebody will send you a grader. You know, this in no time, before you blink, in a couple of months' time, you've got a completely new cemetery. So this is what we have to do. This is my concern for the community, especially in the other provinces. Take over, be our bosses ourselves, and we will be at our own destiny to do what we want to do. It will cost. But the cost factor, we've got donors, they will give. If they don't give you 100 rand, somebody will give you 50 rand. If you don't want to give you 50 rand, but because of the work you are doing, he will give you 20 rand. In no time, that money automatically will come. You don't even have to go out. They will put it in your account.
Yeah, and it's strange that as Muslims, we should be administering our own affairs independently. But yet, you know, we have among us would rather have the government do things for us merely because of reducing costs when funds are available. You know, this is something that's worrying. And, you know that for how long people are trying to even get one database for NGOs so there's no duplication and things. I don't know. I sat in meetings long time ago when I was involved with NGOs, whether anything has happened even with regard to that. Anyway, coming to our political affairs, the first thing is the Hammersdale wastewater treatment works. Completion has been delayed over the years, and it is now expected to be completed in November 2026. This has resulted in an additional 60 million cost to the municipality. Now, the question arises, what were the specific unforeseen reasons or technical challenges encountered during construction causing the delay from May 2026 to November
2026? Okay, Molana, if you go to the Northern Aqueduct, which we call the Northern Aqueduct that is near Sikauli, and I have been there on numerous occasions because I'm part of that committee to go and see what is happening and everything else. And that contract was given for 3 years, and it's running 1 year behind. So what happens in especially these wastewater treatment plants, when they start with that, and this whole thing started in Hammersdale in 2020. Taking into consideration, in 2020 we had our COVID, so they lost about at least nothing less than about 6 to 8 months in that whole construction period. There is penalties embossed in the agreement as well. But what happens when you open up and all these aqueducts all over the country, the treatment plants, it hasn't been serviced for the last 20 odd years. Now, when these things are not serviced, you have a major problem because now once you start opening up and they come and do before they sign their contract, they will do a due diligence first what is required. But once they start opening up the aqueducts and all this, then they come to realize that, you know, because of the it's flowed with water, raw soup, sometimes even if you put a camera, you won't be able to pick up. In this case here, there was a diversion from the engineers. Now, when they came back to us and said, you know what, we have a massive problem here. This is what is the problem. How do we circumvent this issue now? So to circumvent this issue, They said, you know what, it's going to take us another year plus to complete this thing here from 200 million to 260 million. So in this case here, it's a legitimate issue to give them that extra 60 million to get that aqueduct sorted out. Because if we don't, what happens is that aqueduct overflows, goes into the river, from the river it goes into the sea, and that's where our big problem for the last 3 odd years, you know, we had to close beaches because of all of the raw sewers going from the river into the sea, and that's where our big problem was. So that's where our issue is, because I'm going to the northern aqueduct, and I know a very, very good engineer there who is guiding me and is telling me all the time exactly what is happening in these things here. And you know, this is not the only one. You want to find, they want to come to us on the other Tonga aqueduct where we're going to be starting renovation soon. It's going to happen the same thing. Once you start, it's like an old car. Once the car is okay, it's running everything. But when you buy it and you want to do the engine up, when you open it up, then only you see it needs pistons, it needs this, it needs a complete new gearbox. This is what happens in especially construction too. So that's why there was a clause there. So anything over and above what the contract was, they'll have to pay. And this is where we are at the moment.
So like with Tongaat, if there is no nothing like COVID, I know COVID played a major role in the delay. It shouldn't take as long as Hammersdale.
It definitely, and furthermore, Tongaat, when the flood came, they put in 80 million rand of new pumps and everything. And at that time, we also told them, don't use Chinese pumps. And they went and put Chinese pumps. Half of those pumps are already gone. You can't even use them. That's how bad it is. So now we are making sure that whatever pumps they are using, are making sure that it comes with warranty, guarantee, so that, you know, for a 3-year period, we don't have a problem, and we have a service contract. They come and service it regularly, like how we got in the Musgrave Moss, because we got basement parking, and our raw sewer goes from the basement and it then pumped up to the street. We made sure that we got a company who fitted them originally. We gave them a service contract. So they come every 3 to 6 months, they come and check it up, make sure the pumps are serviced, then only it will work right. Otherwise, if you're not going to service these pumps, you want to have a problem. Because one heavy rain comes with all the muck that goes into the pump and it jams the pumps up, we come back to square one. So this is where we are now sorting our lives out in terms of all these wastewater treatment, making sure that whoever we give, making sure that we give them what a service contract, then only this thing will be serviced properly. Because if we want to say we're going to service it, it's not going to happen. That's where our biggest problem is.
Now, as you mentioned, that there's something like penalties which contractors are, you know, charged with if the delay is due to some of their problems. Like I remember one of these freeways when they were, you know, broadening them because of the traffic load, workers went on strike because they were unhappy with salaries. Now, there it is the contractor's problem. Are the contractors charged penalties for that?
Jibolana, when it comes to contract, we got in our Tegwedi, because we got so many departments, water, road, electricity, park. So everywhere, whatever contracts are given with a VO number, vote number, it's been legally drawn up by our attorneys at the council. And they got two things in the contract. One is an escalation clause, which means that if they find there is a problem, they immediately have to bring it to the engineer of the council and the department to say and give them proper pictures. Our scope of work is this, but when we opened up, this is what we found, and to fix this is going to be an additional price or whatever it is. That's one. The second part you said was, is there penalties? Yes, there is penalties. Now, penalties is given especially when you working on a time frame and you don't meet the time frame, immediately penalties kick in and they deduct. Basically, you know, in various departments, I know when in MPAC, they will send us, there's an invoice is made for delays for X amount, how many hours, whatever it is, and it's been deducted from the contract. And the contractor gets that letter as well to say that, you know what, you ran behind by 1 week or what, 10 days or whatever it is. It do happen in case. But in this case here, unfortunately, COVID and the scope of work was more than what they originally given. So there is that the engineer gave us an explanation to say that, you know what, this is a big problem. And especially now we're not taking any chances because the community is up in arms regarding the water is going from the river to the sea. So that's the reason they're making sure that it has to be done completely right from day one.
Now, the initial budget was 200 million. When they budget, do they make allowance for, rising cost of material or because of delays, rising cost of labor?
Jee Molana, I'm consulting in a cemetery in the other side of Mzinto, the area, I don't know if you know, it's called Sawoti. So I'm consulting in that. It's a massive project we're putting in, and I'm a consultant there because I know the cemetery business backwards. And when I see the contract and everything, what is coming through and everything, there is a contingency plan where we put in X amount for contract, because we know once you only open up, then only you'll know the additional work has to be done there to bring it up to standard. And that's it. And that too, they just don't go and do it. They have to put it in writing. Then the engineer, the city engineer, have to go up there, have a look at it. And once the engineer has done the additional work scope is required in this project, then he has to go to the QS. The QS then works out the cost, how much more is going to cost us. Then only an additional amendment to that contract is given. So in this case here, there's an amendment to the 400 million rand contract for another 60 million.
Now, given the history of delays and cost overruns, what specific financial controls are now being implemented for the remainder of this project to prevent further escalation?
So what happens in a case like this? You see, every job, especially work like that, anything big, massive work, especially, there we got a set of engineers, we got QS, we got quantity surveyors, we got a full team. They are responsible to make sure that they have given us November 1st to deliver 2026. They have to deliver and they have to give a weekly and a monthly report. And now with DOME, like what we're doing in Sawoti, the other side of Mzinto, we get a DOME report every week with the DOME, exactly what happened, where they graded, how much filling they did. Everything is detailed. So there's no way you can duck and dive anymore, because the systems are in place now to pick it up very, very quickly. And this is where the city is now putting the act together. As you know, the systems in the city at the moment is being changed. You know, the billing system is completely a new system. It'll kick in sometime in the early part of July sometime, because the Indian team are here who are sitting day and night, 24 hours a day for the last couple of months. Even they're working Saturday and Sunday to get the system up and running. So once this thing runs, the next step will be also for your smart meters and all that. So the city is doing something at the moment to get it right. But the problem is the Auditor General is not happy with the performance and the budget that is being given to the city. In fact, I was just reading the minutes of last week's Thursday meeting. There's an additional 3 billion is been granted aid is being given to the city, which will kick in sometime in July. and it's going to come in. Now, what happens is, when we get all these things, and if you don't utilize it, national governments take it away again. In the last financial year, we had to refund like about $7 billion gone back to the city, back to national government, because we didn't use it. Now, that's where our big problem is. Now, the Auditor General and the audit team we got here at the city, and they have appointed from provincial government and national government to oversee to everything. So, because they know they're losing ground in terms of the ruling party losing ground of non-service delivery. So they are looking at everything at the moment, and things are starting to look slightly better. Roads are taking shape, cleaning of roads. The city is starting to look a little bit cleaner. Comrades was very, very successful, you know, and the city is starting to generate investment, and a lot of, at the moment, you know, people say nobody wants to invest in the country. Saudis are investing left, right, and center in this, especially in this city in Durban.
Yeah, I did read about that last week, about the UAE meeting with the Itikweni municipality. Now, the next thing is, okay, there's something you wanted to say.
No, carry on, Mona.
The Ushaka Marine World, the municipality is injecting 14 million into that. Now, one of the problems we know with these theme parks is that they make money only during the, you know, peak seasons, like December, Easter, and whenever there's school holidays, etc. Now, given the acknowledged pattern of needing surplus from peak season to cover off-peak and the existence of historical debt, what concrete measures are being taken in the turnaround strategy, which is due in July 2025, to break this cycle and achieve genuine long-term sustainability without repeated municipal injections?
Mulana, this Shaka Marine is a wild elephant, that because of the pricing of tickets, I don't even think, if I had to take my two grandchildren, and if I had to take my full family, you're looking at over 1,200 rands. If I had to take five of you. So the price is, number one, is way out. Number two, when it came before us at MPEC, and we had, I drilled them very, very high on that day. I said, you know what, we can't be keep coming to MPEC, coming to the council and asking for injection. You have as a head of department, you all need to start thinking of ways how you can do a turnaround. Like Pick and Pay, they're closing left, right, and center some of their stores because it's not performing. So what the CEO now is brought back into the equation at Pick and Pay, and he's doing a complete turnaround, and he started doing a turnaround, and they're investing more into the Boxer brand in, you know, other than the Pick and Pay, and it's showing them return on their money. It's the same thing, and I'm saying to them, and I made it very, very clear in that meeting, to say that we got about 1.2 something million of billing a month goes out to various people in the city. Give them some incentive. Say, you know what, your account, you pay in 15 days, we'll give you a token that you can use, bring your children to the Shaka Marine or something like that. You know, one, we will get our money in time quickly, instead of waiting for 30 days of our money, you will pay your account in earlier, and then the balance of the, you give 2% or 3% of that, and that it'll become self-sufficient for the Shaka Marine. But, as I said earlier on, the guys from Saudi are here, UAE is coming, and they're looking at what is happening. And if you go to Dubai, they got a very, very good system in place regarding the fun world and everything. So I think they're coming and having a look at it, and I think something is going to happen very, very shortly. So that's where we are at the moment. But to lose 60 million every year, it's a lot of money. So they have to do something. You can't wait for something to happen. You need to go out there. If your business is not doing well, you'll find a way, you know, seize dead stock, get rid of the dead stock, or put buy one and get one free. Do something to generate more income and do a turnaround and see with the school. There's so many schools. Say to the school, you know what? We will sponsor you the bus, but your ticket price will be X amount. You know, reduce the some ticket price amount. So during the week, every school, they will come here, two, three schools, you can bring them at a time, and you can do something, but nobody is there. And that's where I was very, very annoyed with the head of department. I said, you know what? No use coming before the MPAC here and giving us a story. This is where we are. We need additional funding. It's not going to happen now. After this, in fact, we say we're not going to give any more funding. Rather, you close it up. We're better off because we can't keep putting in money into something and you're not getting return on your money.
Now, one of the counselors claimed that this is an investment. But from the way that report is put forward, it sounds more like a bailout than an investment. Has this counselor and Thule, who insists this is a strategic investment and not a bailout, you know, has he provided some specific measurable outcomes or returns beyond simply keeping doors open?
Molana, if we didn't put this 14 million for them, they, for the next 2-3 months, they won't get salary. That's how bad it is. So we think, you know what, this is a bailout. There's not, it's not an investment because investment is already there. It's for you to make that investment work, and that's where they're not doing it. That's where our biggest problem is.
Now, just the last question. This 14 million, is it coming from taxpayers' money?
It's coming, obviously, Molan. It's very, it's coming from our rate funds. It's getting from there. That's it. And that is the reason why we came up with a 50% discount to bring in the money quick as possible. Our target for the month of June is to bring in 3.6 billion with this new system that is going to expire on Monday to bring in additional money. And people are taking advantage of it. And now some of them are even saying to me, you know, counselor, I rather don't pay my account for 3 months and we wait. Something might come out. We might hit a jackpot by getting 50%. You know, so one guy came through to me, which I'm helping him. He's got a debt of 35 million with the city for rates. Now for him, he's laughing all the way to the bank. You only have to pay 17.5 million. So this one guy came to me yesterday. He's owing about 2 million. And if by Monday he's going to pay the 2 million. So he's got 2 million rand bucks. So, you know, whoever got the money now and they're owing the municipality, providing it's till the 31st of January 2025 that you're owing, there's an opportunity. Even if you borrow that money from somebody and tell him, you know what, help me here for a couple of months, I will clear my rates. There's an opportunity to clear your rates.
Okay, just one important question. This 14 million rand, it's already decided they are going to be given this. Were any specific conditions or performance benchmarks attached to the release of this 14 million rand to ensure accountability and drive necessary changes with this Durban theme park?
Well, no, what we do is when we give like this money into any way we assist in various departments, there's an agreement drawn. Whether you will keep to the agreement or not to keep to the agreement, that's another thing. And this is what happens in 9 out of 10. Agreements are just there for paper trail purposes to say that we have taken from the ratepayers money and to assist the theme park for 40 million. I'm saying it's a bailout. And it's not an investment, and that's where it'll be stipulated, and it has to come before the full council. And the council have already approved to give them this money, because otherwise, if we didn't, they won't be getting the salary. That's the other big problem they were faced with.
Okay. Jazakumullah khair al-jaza for your valuable time and the valuable information that you impart about our kafan and dafan affairs and the politics of this beautiful city of Itikweni. Inshallah, during the course of the day, the podcast would be sent out. We will talk next week again, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Counselor Ahmad Parak. And as we know that he is quite involved in the burial affairs of the Muslim community, and he is a counselor, so he's quite involved with the politics, particularly the financial part of things.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.